As I thought about this gospel in the week as it progressed, it struck me that it's a very difficult thing to wrap our hands and arms around on a day like this, this 2 weeks before Lent. There is a great, I think, resistance for all of us, no matter if we're 71 or 21, to think about death. To remember in our own mind and heart people that we've known and people we've loved. People that somehow have come to us and now are gone. I remember so clearly when my mother and father and sister, in just a matter of a few years, all died. And I'd be driving a car somewhere and all of a sudden, I just burst into tears. Don't know where it came from. Where it began or where it ended, but it would just be there, and it would stun me almost that I'd have that poignant remembrance. I could even smell that beautiful scent of my mother. It was like a remembrance, a return. That's a difficult thing to see and to understand. I even thought about this morning inviting Mike Mottola, our great administrator who lost his wife just a week from today, to come and to share the pain of his own loss. He said he wasn't able to do that yet. It's so fresh oftentimes in people's minds and hearts that it's almost unspeakable. And yet we know that by the grace of God, all of us experience this process of aging and ultimately and finally our own death. As a pastor of a community, I just can't tell you what an incredible privilege it is for me. I've had so many people where I've literally been right there at the moment or near the moment of their death. And while I don't go into the door with them, through the door to the other side, I'm standing literally at the door, right there, at the moment of someone's death, right there. And so holding them, blessing them, anointing them, and then knowing that somehow they pass through that door alone, as you and I will pass. As you and I will pass. As you and I will pass. And hopefully on the other side, finding a choir of angels and people we have loved. And I never, never once missed the chance to say to someone who's very near death, now remember, when I go through those doors, I want you to be there. I want you to be on the other side, seeing our God face to face. And so that gospel on this 2 weeks before Lent is an important reflection, a great reminder. An opportunity for us to once again hold up those who have gone before us in love and support and in tender embrace on this day. Yes, we do. As we recount the great scripture. The Samaritan woman 2 weeks ago. The blind man born blind last Sunday. And today, Lazarus. About the year 2005, we had John August Swanson, who was one of the great, great painters, at least from my perspective, of this city of Los Angeles, and he's a wonderful man. And he had a little display of his paintings in our chapel. I don't know if you remember that. And one of the families of our community generously gave this to me as a gift. John's beautiful painting of Lazarus and Jesus. And so I took it and I put it in our little chapel where we pray every morning at 7 o'clock in the morning, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, morning prayer and prayer for the faithful, prayer for the people of this community. And I know people have said to me when they visited that chapel, why would you have Lazarus as your morning wake up? I mean, it's not a very pleasant beginning to a day, you know, a guy in a tomb, wrapped, coming out of the tomb. And I've often thought about that gospel and thought about that beautiful image. And I hope when you come up today, when you come up today that you for Eucharist, you might just pause and take a look at it. It's an extraordinary work that John has done for us. And I read in the beginning when it was given to me what that meant to him and what it really means to me now. And I think that this gospel cannot be missed for us on this Sunday, even though it certainly brings to bear the great loss, the great struggle of loss, and the great pain of loss in our own lives. But my brothers and sisters, that's not just this gospel. This gospel, we are Lazarus. This gospel is about our death. Not our death then, our death right now. So let's just pay attention for a moment to this gospel. First, Jesus gets word that his best friend, Lazarus, is about to die. So what would you normally do? You would immediately get in your car and go visit, be with that person. That's the response. But Jesus does not respond like that. Jesus takes, the scriptures say, John says, 2 days to get to the family home of Lazarus. And when he gets there, what's the first words out of Martha's mouth? What does she say? You're too late. Isn't that what we would say? Thank you very much, but you're too late. You delayed. You didn't come right away. He's dead. It's too late. Those are hard words. I don't know if you've ever heard that. But they're devastating words. Too late. What's Jesus' response? Jesus looks right at Martha and says, "Sister, it's never too late. Never too late. Never, never is it too late." That's the first message. Never too late. Now, I like that, actually. At 71 years of age, I think that's good advice. Never too late. Hang in there. Secondly, he goes to Martha and Mary and his beloved friends, and he begins once again to explain what he's been teaching them all along, what he shared with them. Why is it not too late? It's not too late because I am the am. I am. I am the resurrection. I am the life. If you believe in me, you will live. And Jesus tries his best to explain to them why he's there, why he delayed, and what he's able to do. And then the crowd who came to visit and to honor Martha and Mary and to console them says, "You took blind people and you cured them. You had lame people walk. You rose people from the dead, and you won't do this for your own brother?" And he walks away from that crowd. He goes to the tomb and he says what we sang today, "Roll away the stone." And that's the question, I think, that this gospel can provide for all of us today. What are those stones in our life that prevent us from really living out that great life that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has given to us? What are our stones? What are our addictions? What are our struggles? What are the things we're afraid to confront? What are the issues that we know could take us down? What are the stones in our lives that need to be rolled away? And even though there is a stench, Jesus says, "Roll away the stone." And then in this loud voice, in the tomb, he says to Lazarus, "Come out, unbind him, set him free." I believe that's the great message of this great season of Lent. You may have missed a few weeks. You may not have done everything that you had hoped to have done. You may not be right where you would like to be in this last 2 weeks of Lent. But it's never too late. Roll away the stone. Unbind yourselves. And come out. And John Swanson says it far better than I could ever say it. This is the artist's reflection on this great image. What is your tomb? Where and how is it that you hide from the pain and struggle of necessary growth? The sort of growth that is an essential element of life. Do you hide in drugs and alcohol to numb your pain? Do you hide in bigotry and prejudice so that you don't have to care about people who are different than you? Are you trapped in the tomb of oppression? Oppression, thinking that you are not of value, and as a result of that, afraid to confront those who oppress you. Are you trapped in the tomb of grief, not able to ever love again, for fear that once again you will be hurt? What tomb imprisons you? What fear is the stone that needs to be taken away so that you can be free to live life once again in all its fullness? My God, those are words to remember. I hope you're not too sleepy to hear it. Those are words for life. I put that painting in the chapel because I wake up every morning afraid of something in the day, oppressed by something I don't want to do, having some particular thing that I just don't know how I'm going to manage. But somehow, looking at that, realizing, and what I noticed for the first time yesterday, Lazarus, as he's being unbandaged by Jesus, is not like this, like a mummy. He's got his arms right around Jesus Christ. When I asked Mike Mottola, "How did you get through this year, Mike, at the loss of your mother and your wife?" He said, "I just held on to Jesus Christ as tight in an embrace as I could." And finally, got two more minutes? John says this to conclude this great work of art. This story challenges us. It challenges us to listen for the voice that breaks into the cruel silence of this world, saying to all creation, "Come alive again." It invites us to listen to the voice that breaks into the cruel silences of our lives, saying, "It's not too late. Come out. Leave the tomb behind. Leave the fear of death. Leave the fear of life. Leave it behind. Come out. Unbind yourself and unbind others through acts of compassion and justice and peace.